Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cloud Cover Show. I'm your host, Thiago Almeida. Today I have Bill Barnes here to help me ask some questions.
Hello.
And we're talking about Azure Functions today, some new things in there, and who better than Donna to talk to us about it. So Donna, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Donna Malieri. I'm a program manager on the Azure Functions team. I'm responsible for the developer experience, which I will be demoing to you. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Lindy Donna. So first off, let me tell you what's new. I'm going to be showing off all of these things, or most of them. So we have new Visual Studio SEP 2017 tooling. It's currently in preview. We expect to have the final version in the next few months. So please try it out and give us your feedback. One of the other big notable improvements we've made is that now when you're running on the serverless plan, which is also called the consumption plan, you can run for 10 minutes.
All right.
And unlike Lambda.
Like a function can run 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, that's a long function.
Yes, and we started with five minutes, right? And AWS Lambda and Google Cloud Functions have a limit of 5 minutes, so we're happy to be ahead there. We're twice as good.
Twice as good.
Exactly. And we've also been making a lot of UX improvements. There's also runtime improvements. And let me talk a little bit about our upcoming work. So one of the things we're steadily working on, we're making great progress on, is we're porting the runtime to .NET Core. Oh. And the main reason we're doing this is that the Functions Core tools, which I'll be demoing in a minute, currently only work on Windows. But once we port to .NET Core, you can go crazy. You can do it on Mac and Linux. Right. Hopefully I'll be in another show and I'll have my Mac and we can go crazy.
Of course.
The other thing you'll probably like is that we're going to have JavaScript out of proc. Right now we use a library called Edge.js. Which compiles JavaScript to C#, basically lets you invoke it from C#. Not exactly compiles it, but it's all within the same process. But this means that we define the version of Node that you use. And using native modules is not possible with this approach. So we're going to have an out-of-proc model for JavaScript, and for all languages, in fact, in the future. And so there'll be a functions host and a language worker, and they'll communicate over inter-process communication with Google Protobuf.
Okay, cool.
So now that you can use compiled class libraries in C#, and now native modules in .NET, Node once it comes out.
Yes, that's right.
Cool.
And hopefully I will also be demoing that soon. So the other thing I want to do is say, please connect with us. We have a Twitter handle, Azure Functions. The entire project is open source. The script runtime, the portal, the underlying web jobs SDK, all of it. And you can file feature requests and issues, and we respond to these regularly. And now we have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/c/Azure Functions. And we've been doing live webcasts. We've done one so far. It was a little interesting. If you go back, you can watch it. We're still trying to figure out how to broadcast, so that was kind of cool. but everyone really liked it. And we're going to have another one coming up in a couple of weeks, so please stay tuned for that. So let me tell you a little bit about what I'll be covering today. First, because Bill loves JavaScript, and also because Azure Functions loves JavaScript, we're going to show you how you can run the functions runtime locally on your machine and debug JavaScript, including triggering off of events that are in Azure.
I have a love-hate relationship with
that. I know. So I knew that. And so that's why I'm going to show you C# debugging with Visual Studio 2017. And I'm also going to show you my little hackathon project, which is really useful for presentations, which shows you all the bindings in a function app and how they connect. And I'll do a quick demo of some of our new UX features. So without further ado, let's get into the demos. So I'm guessing as a JavaScript person, you like the command line, is that right?
I love the command line, but I spend a lot of time in VS Code these days as well.
Cool. I am going to show off VS Code as well. So to get the Azure Functions core tools, you just do npm install -g azure-functions-core-tools, which I already have installed on my machine. So to start it up, you type func, and you get this awesome ASCII art. And you get both the runtime version.
The real command line app.
Yeah. Of course it is. It has colors and everything. You get the runtime version. That's the underlying script runtime. You can see if it matches what's in the portal of what you're using. And also the functions runtime. So you can see there's a lot of commands here. First off, let's start with func init. That's going to create a new function app project in the current folder. And it also creates a Git repo for us. So I'll say func init cloud cover. And this is going to create a cloud cover directory for me. Let's cd into that. And let's get started. So we'll say func new language JavaScript. And we see a list of all the templates. These are the same exact templates that you have in the portal.
So the init that just created the basic files that
exactly.
you need for a function.
Exactly. Right.
And can you have multiple functions in one
exactly,
repo?
Exactly, you can. Okay. You can. So I could do funcanoo again and create more. In fact, I will. Let's start out with something simple. Let's do an HTTP trigger.
Okay.
This is the simplest one you can do. And let's open this up in code. VS Code. So we'll say code dot and we'll open VS Code. So you can see we have a launch JSON folder created by default with a default node port. You can change this port if you want. And we have our HTTP function, which has function JSON. This defines the input and output bindings.
And it puts it in its own folder.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what the name of the function is.
Yeah.
And we have our index.js.
So make me the happiest man on earth and tell me that you support TypeScript.
We do, actually. Okay. It's currently in preview, but we're working steadily on that. And
okay.
hopefully that will be another thing I will show
Great.
Off on our next episode. So we can set a breakpoint here. Now we need to run the function's host. So we'll do func host start. And this will start the function's runtime. And it will listen by default on port 7071. So here is the URL you can use to call that function.
So if you have multiple functions, it will start them all?
Yes, it will start all of them. So if you have timer triggers, for instance, it will start them. You can disable some of your functions, though,
right.
if you don't want to.
So it sounds like Azure Functions is depending on the convention of that directory structure.
It is. That's,
okay.
that's exactly right. So let's say, I want to say, hello, cloud cover. This is default hello world. And I set a breakpoint. Let me actually, I don't know how to use URL encoding, apparently. Let me start the debugger and attach. So I go to the debug menu, and I say attach to Azure Functions. That's what that says here. And it's attaching. Now let's reload. And let's add a space to that, because I didn't know how to URL encode. So step over. And oh, I missed it. But if I wanted to, I could go in here and the context result. Oh, no, it still works. And say, hello, cloud cover with a space. Actually, let me add some exclamation points as well, because mm-hmm. we need exclamation points for this demo. And then let's continue. And we go back to the browser. And it shows this in XML, because by default, there's no, it's just returning a string. Mm-hmm. We could also return a JSON object, in which case it would show the payload.
Right.
So that's our basic debugging. That's not super exciting. I mean, it's just an HTTP trigger. You could, you know, do that with Express, right? So that's nothing too fancy. So let's go one step further.
Just a question. The details of attaching two functions, that gets added for you?
Yes, it does.
When you do funcinit, or
yes.
is that when you install
the... Yes, it's when you do funcinit. So if we scroll up here, I can find what I did funcinit. You can see it wrote launch.json
okay.
for me.
Great.
Now, it doesn't know if you're going to debug in Node or C#. So if you want to debug, you can also do func host start. Let's do func host start help. Oh, I think that actually starts it, sorry. Func host. Well, show me all of them. So you can say debug, and then you can say...
which one you want to attach to.
Exactly.
Right.
And we also have documentation for the CLI, so you can see all the commands. You can publish from here. You can do basically everything you want, the whole life cycle of a function.
Cool.
So let's do something a little bit more advanced. Let's add another function. Let's do it in JavaScript again. And let's do a queue trigger so that we're actually listening off of events that are in Azure. Queue trigger. Here we go, queue trigger JS. So we can see that this two instances open. Here we go. We can see this function exists. It's mm-hmm. named the folder name again. And we have our index.js. Let's add a breakpoint. So now that we've added a queue trigger, we need to add a value for Azure WebDrop storage. This is a special storage account. All function apps need it in Azure. When you're running locally, if you use anything other than HTTP trigger, you also need to add this. The reason that this is necessary here, obviously, we're using a queue trigger, so we need a storage account. But if you use something like timer trigger, under the covers, we actually create queue messages. So we need a storage account for that. So what I'm going to do is launch Azure Storage Explorer, which is a great tool. And I'm going to get the connection string for a storage account and paste that right in here. And if you're not using this tool, you really should. It's really great. So
And that's the new one that's cross-platform.
It is cross-platform, so I also use it on my Mac, in fact.
So even though my Azure functions are running locally here, they are still talking to real-life Azure.
Exactly, and that's the thing that gives you this hybrid debugging experience. Mm-hmm. So you could have something in the cloud. In fact, I'm gonna show that in the C# demo later. You could have a website that's writing to a queue and trigger locally.
Oh.
So this is a really unique thing. This is something that no other vendor has. So we paste in our connection string, and then we can run it again. Let's say func host start, and here we go. Let's attach the debugger again. And we have our source. Let's open the source file again, and the debugger is attached. So now let's go into this. Let me show you what queue it's listening on. It's going to be listening on, actually, let me delete this connection here so that it uses the default Azure Web Job Storage. In general, you should probably explicitly specify it.
Yeah.
So the name here is queue trigger. That's the value. That's the name you're going to use in your code to refer to the value. Sorry, the name is my queue item. The type is queue trigger. And the queue that you're listening on is JS queue items. Because this is an input trigger, this queue needs to already exist. If it was an output trigger, output binding,
it would create it
for you. So we have our new queue, and we say hi from cloud cover, lots of exclamation points. And what will happen is, in a few seconds, it doesn't pull all the time because that affects your storage bill, but in a few seconds it will hit that breakpoint. And we can see in our output when it does so. Here we go. So it's triggered the function. And now we have our real hybrid debugging. And we can change the queue item to, question marks. that's
cloud cover.
Cloud cover. And then if we look in our console output, we can see that it worked. We have all of our question marks.
That's pretty magical.
Yeah, so this is something we're really proud of. And as I said, we're porting all of this to .NET Core. So pretty soon, if you're a Mac user, if you're a Linux user, you'll have this same goodness available there.
And could you connect it to a local storage emulator as
You well? Can. Okay. There are some issues with that. Some things won't work exactly the same, right. So you might run into limitations. So we recommend, if you're doing that, to also test with a real storage account.
Right. Yeah.
One thing I also forgot to mention is that if you're a C# developer and you are using a Mac, you can use VS for Mac. It has preview support for Azure Functions. So if you're authoring C# functions, not Node, just C#, then you can still run on a Mac. So let's switch gears and let's show you our C# debugging.
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Yes,
are you interested in seeing this? Cool. So let's. First thing, I want to show you my hackathon project. We had a hackathon for the App Service and Azure Functions team.
Yeah.
And I created a bindings visualizer because a lot of times I am demoing something, like I am right now, and I want to tell customers how everything all flows together. So here you can either upload a zip file or give a GitHub repo URL, and then you can see what the function is doing.
Right.
So this one's pretty simple. It's just a queue binding with a blob input, and it's going to call review image and text, and then write to document DB.
What was the zip file that you uploaded?
It was the bin folder, basically, and all of the function JSON files.
Oh, okay.
So
basically, like the repo we just saw.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the other thing you can do.
This is the C# one?
Yes, this is the C# one. So if you wanted to point it at a GitHub repo, though, you can do that as well. So here's a more complicated one, and it'll show you all your APIs at the top, and we have a queue trigger and all that stuff. So no matter how many queues.
So it goes through multiple functions because you have feedback receiver and processor.
Exactly.
There. Ah, yeah.
And I have notification sender here as well. And then you can click this, and you get a nice little SVG file that you can stick right into your PowerPoint presentation.
Cool.
And this uses GraphViz. If you're familiar with that, you can download this file and party on it and do something more advanced. And the whole project is open source, so please go ahead and use it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
So let's open this project in Visual Studio. And what we're going to do is we have the project I'm going to show you is a content moderation app. So we have a site that has cat products and lets you upload photos of your cat using the product.
Of course, it has cats.
Now, the thing is, if somebody uploads something that's not a cat, like an offensive photo of a dog, we're not gonna allow that to happen. In fact, I think we have. Is this your dog?
Yeah.
There we go. Even though he's really cute and very small, he's
still a dog.
Are you sure it's not a cat?
He tried to put it as a cat, but Cognitive Services gave us a caption of a small white dog.
They're too smart.
So I was talking about hybrid debugging earlier, and that's what I'm going to show off. Whenever a new picture is added, what this site does is it adds an image to a queue in Azure. It also writes the photo to Blob Storage, and it writes the review text to DocumentDB. Okay. And then this triggers a function that's running, in this case, on my local machine. And that function will pick up these this data and decide whether or not to pass or fail the text and the image. So if you use a lot of swear words in the review, those will also get filtered out. So
if you're swearing about a dog, then it's just all is lost.
All is lost, yes.
So the trigger itself is the queue message
exactly.
that the website creates.
Yes.
But it has a connection to the blob. And how does it know which blob to pick up?
That's a really good question. So this is one of my favorite features about bindings and functions,
yeah.
is that here I'm binding to a POCO. Let's go to the definition here. Review request item. This is the payload of the queue message. It's going to have a document ID, which is a pointer to the document
right.
in DocDB, and a blob name. Then what I'm going to do, this is something not everyone realizes you can do. I'm going to have a blob input binding that points to that blob name property
right.
within the queue message. And I'm going to bind to the document as well within that message. So basically, I get a, even though I'm triggering off of something, so for instance, DocDB doesn't have triggers currently,
mm-hmm.
But I can use a queue message with an input binding.
Right.
So let's run this.
That's pretty cool.
And let's then upload a photo of a cat and then a dog and see what happens. So
that's running that same host start for you, but
exactly.
Visual Studio is
exactly.
taking care of kicking it off.
Exactly. So you can see all these things that are going on. It's listing on the default port. I don't have any HTTP triggers in this function, so it's not listing those URLs for me. So
just
let's
waiting for the queue.
Exactly. So let's go here and add a message. I have this cat photo, which I really love. My cat is named Moxie, so I'll do this and it's pending. The review is still pending because
so
it's
that's a cat.
It is a cat.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
I don't know if it was clear or not. I mean, the cat is inside
just
of a bag.
Sure.
So we can see here that the image, the function did execute. And if we refresh this page, we will see the caption is a close-up of a cat, which is pretty good. So let's just look at what happens when we upload a dog. Let's upload your dog photo again. And here, let's set a breakpoint so that we can look at, actually, let's look at the passes image moderation async. Let's look at the actual result from the Cognitive Services API.
Right.
We can see like the confidence interval, the confidence metric, and that kind of thing. So here we go. Your dog, again, this is actually.
What's your dog's name?
Angel.
Angel, of course.
Seahawks.
Your dog is an angel.
So this is, it's saying, we're, the reviews are going to say it's a cat.
Nope.
But let's
that
see what happens. You know, Cognitive Services says it's still a small white dog.
Mm.
And if we look at in Cognitive Services, look at the results from Cognitive Services, we can see there's an analysis result here. And it's going to give us all this metadata. It's going to give us a description. That was our caption that we saw. It's going to give us tags. That's actually what we're using to figure out if cat is not in the top three tags here, then it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So you can see it's got wearing, standing, leash, brown, office table, laying, laptop is the very end.
Angelic. Right.
Yes.
So this is a pretty easy to just do moderation for any sort of stuff.
Exactly. And this is also a great use of functions. What we see a lot of times is people have existing code. They're not usually taking new projects or rewriting projects wholesale.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're taking some code they've already written, and there's some automation aspect to it, like a queue message. Say order processing is another common one.
Yeah.
You have customers that place orders. It creates a queue message. They're already using service bus queues, for instance. For instance, we have some manufacturing customers that do this. So they get to move that logic into the cloud.
Right.
And for Azure Functions, you only pay per execution.
Mm.
So we have customers who are doing, you know, millions of executions a day, and they're paying like, you know, $2 a day.
Yeah.
So you can save a lot of money as
well. Cost savings too.
And so then could you have a trigger where you actually look at each new thing that's added, see that it's not a cat, and then remove it?
Yes.
And so that your underlying app never even needed to know what was going on.
Exactly. So in this case, what'll happen is it'll show it as rejected. Mm-hmm. And in our view for here, we just have an approved and a rejected category.
Reviews.
Oh, reviews. Wrong. There we go. So we have approved, rejected. Thiago and I both worked on this mm-hmm. project. That's why it has so many photos of his his dog in there and my cat. Mm-hmm. So, and this whole thing is open source.
So training bias.
If you want to, yes, definitely. If you want to get to it, go to search for Azure samples or go to samples on the Azure webpage. And then once that happens, you filter to Azure Functions and you'll see both this sample and a bunch of others that the team has created. So here we go, sample customer reviews app with Cognitive Services. Yep. And you can see Thiago actually created it. We have proof. So I'm showing off your demo.
Yeah.
I guess that's the magic of triggers, is it allows you to inject operations into existing apps
Absolutely.
Without touching the original code.
Absolutely.
And another cool thing I like about this example is the decoupling of that concern from the website, because you could have just put that code inside the website code.
Yes.
But you want to change the scale between them,
right.
or you wanted to trigger something else, like a logic app. If right. say, for example, if the review is negative, then send it to a person to double check.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you could trigger a logic
app. You could have a human review in there as well. Yeah.
And you could build up your custom neural cat recognizer.
Yes.
And the function would now call that, but the underlying code never needs to.
Exactly. Yeah. And because it's decoupled from the website, if you wanted to do something different, and like say you only do image moderation and then you add content moderation, that would all work.
Cool.
So the other thing I want to show you, if the portal, is we have Application Insights integration. So let me show you the code here. We just have one line of code, emit custom telemetry. And here, what we're doing is we're tracking a custom metric with App Insights. This is using the App Insights SDK with telemetry client. And what we're going to do is we're going to post a moderation result. And it's going to be a tuple here of whether or not it passed the image or the text.
So you could do that from the node example as well?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And even without writing any code at all, we already wire up, if you add an instrumentation key, we wire up App Insights for you automatically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can see all of the runtime telemetry that the function's host is emitting.
Okay.
So let me show you the chart that you can get from this. All right, so let me open up my App Insights instance here. It's called Cust Review Insights. All of my resources here are called Cust Review because I use the wonderful automated setup script that you created, and it prefixes that to everything. So what we're going to do is go to the analytics portal. This is a super powerful feature of App Insights that not everyone's familiar with. And you use this query language to see what's going on. So if we go to custom metrics, for instance, we can just say go. So here we are looking at all of the metrics. And so we have our moderation result. We also have some metrics that are created by the Azure Functions runtime. And once you're happy with this query, you can pin it to the dashboard. In fact, with your awesome deployment template, you actually create a dashboard for the customer, which is great. I didn't know you could do that in ARM template. So here we can see that we have 7 images passed, 2 that failed. And we can even see our requests. Here are all the resources. Mm-hmm. And the other cool thing is this dependency visualizer. And it's called an application map. And so you can see exactly what's going on. So here we have our client, which is the web browser. And it is logging to App Insights. And we have our HTTP. We have how many calls, how many failures, no failures. We're going to queue storage, again, no errors. And to blob storage, again, no errors. So you can imagine that if you had a really complicated app, then you could see a lot of what's going on and really pinpoint failures. In fact, App Insights has even more awesome features, like failures, for instance. It does a failure analysis. It's like shows you, you know, kind of heuristics of what's going on. You know, maybe you change your code, and now your app is failing. Or maybe you have more load. That's why your app is failing.
Cool.
So
that's
it's good for
perf work as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's what you can do with C# functions. And then once you're happy with it, you just right-click publish. It's just like publishing a regular web app. You can either create a new function app or publish to an existing one.
Because it's still a app service on top of
exactly.
App Service, right?
Exactly. So functions and App Service are very closely related, even though we talk about them as separate products. Mm-hmm. The consumption plan is actually a special SKU of an App Service plan.
Right.
It's just only available to function apps.
Yeah.
So that's what you can do with C#. And I showed off the bindings visualizer. So let me show you, let's just end with a couple of new UI improvements that we've been making.
Okay.
So as I was saying, if you post bugs, we will address them. And one of the things that we've done is, you know, a lot of times customers are in the integrate tab. This is my favorite feature, by the way. You're in the integrate tab, and you want to know what's the connection string you're using. Like, you have a function, and you want to trigger it, like it's a queue trigger or something.
Right.
But you can't remember what storage account it is. So what you can do here is go to your, this is a C# function. So notice you only see the bindings JSON. There's no other source code here if I say view files. Also, this app is in read-only mode because I have source control enabled. Mm-hmm. You can turn this off if you are brave and you think you won't mess yourself up. but here, you can, if you say new, you'll create a new one, or you can say show value, and you will see the full connection string.
Right.
And this works for anything that's a connection string type. One of the other things that we did was we've added a new custom picker for IoT Hub and Event Hub. Mm-hmm. So if you say new output, Event Hub, select, and here, I've already have one, it's showing me, or I can create a new one. And so now we get this nice modal dialog instead of a blade.
Right.
You can pick what policy you want. You can also pick an IoT hub, or you can do custom. And this custom view, we actually also put in place for things that don't have custom pickers. So for instance, SendGrid does not have a custom picker. Before, you had to type in a key and make sure you did it right. Here, you have no app setting, so it says it's not found. But we can type in a new key here, and no value because I don't have a key. And it'll just add it for you right here, and you can pick different ones.
And can you reuse that one with other functions?
Yes, it's shared across the entire function now.
Okay, cool.
And here we can see the value. So those are some of the new improvements that we've been making to the portal. We're steadily improving a lot of them, and definitely file issues. Like this show value feature came as part of a customer request where they were saying, hey, can you just add a link to the connection strings?
Right.
And I said, hey, let's do better. And we did a few rounds with the designer, and we came up with something pretty cool.
That's
great. I see a lot of customers investigating functions to work on events that come from event hubs or from IoT.
Yes, actually, that's a very popular scenario. Our highest usage customers use event hubs and service bus. Those are the most popular triggers by volume.
Yeah, so it's good to see that coming
absolutely.
Up on the,
absolutely.
On the picker.
Any questions for you, Bill?
No, it's perfect.
Good. So great. You will be a functions user starting today?
I actually am a functions user starting today.
Oh, good. Nice.
Awesome. All right, Donna, thank you very much. She had some links there. We're going to add those to the bottom of this post, of course. And don't forget to follow Donna at Lindy Donna.
And the Azure Functions handle at Azure Functions.
Azure Functions. All right, thank you very much, and we'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you.